Sits and Giggles. I am your host, Casey, and I am here with Krista, and we are talking about episode 3 of The Mandalorian, which was
arguably the best episode of the entire series, in my opinion.
No argument for me, because that episode was great. I was, like, in nerd overload, like, I was overwhelmed with emotions.
Bryce Dallas Howard killed it. Katie Sackhoff killed it. Just so good. So good.
I laughed, I cried, and I got excited and, like, yelled, fuck yeah. So, several times. So, like, can't complain about that episode one bit.
Which I'm glad, because I know last week I was kind of very hard on the episode. And possibly the direction of the show in general.
You and the rest of the internet, so, like...
Which is weird. I usually don't agree with the internet mobs.
Well, the internet was, like, hard on it for a different reason than you. So...
I wasn't hard on it because of the Baby Yoda. Baby Yoda... Yeah. Disney had to come out and defend Baby Yoda eating the eggs. Because the internet's saying it's genocide.
Yes.
And
they're saying it's genocide or it's insensitive to women with who are, like, infertile. Which, like, I totally get that. Like, I'm not going to, like, mock someone feeling like that.
I understand that. But also, like, they weren't doing it to be insensitive.
Right.
They weren't, like, they didn't think about it that way. And... I think, and the way they justify this is, like, they're not fertilized. They're the exact same type of eggs that we eat.
Right.
I can understand why people have an issue with it, but I don't think it needs to be the point where Disney had to come out.
I don't have an opinion on it.
Like, I have no feelings towards it one way or the other.
Like, if you're having fertility issues and, like, seeing that made you feel bad, then I'm very sorry. Like, I genuinely feel bad.
And your feelings are valid.
Yes. I don't think that, like, I don't think anyone on The Mandalorian was thinking.
Oh, no, I loved the last episode. It was the episode before it.
What was the last episode? No, the last episode was the frog episode.
Oh, yeah, the one that I said that...
I
said that was just basically, you found the tweet to sum it up perfectly, where it was just like a D&D episode where your DM was having personal life issues. And just didn't have time to come up with anything good, so they just made a big bad monster for you.
I totally forgot about that.
Because that's what it was. I'm an idiot.
So that was the last episode before the one before we're going to talk about right now. So right now we are talking about The Heiress was the name of this episode. Which is Bo-Katan. I wasn't quite sure what that was a reference to as soon as... Like, when I first saw... My first thought was, like, Sabine. Because she's, like, the heiress to, like, Clan Ren. So, like, I wasn't thinking of, like, Bo-Katan.
Not knowing... So, I did not know what the episode title was before the episode.
Okay.
I usually didn't. Once I saw... Like, until I clicked play, that's the first time I see it.
Yeah, because they're not listed on Disney Plus, I don't think.
Yeah, so, like, the first time I saw it, I will say, knowing what I knew, I knew it meant Bo-Katan, because if you think about it, she technically is the heiress of Mandalore, all of Mandalore. Like, her family was the last line to rule her sister, you know, Obi-Wan Kenobi's love of his life. Let's be honest there.
Yes.
Duchess Satine. Was Bo-Katan's sister.
Right.
So, she's technically would be the next, she last of her line. Like, she is the one to inherit Mandalore. And it makes sense, knowing what she knows from, you know, the Clone Wars that we saw and everything. She is well aware of the significance of the Darksaber, so, like, it 100% makes sense in her mind.
Yes.
It is hers, and she needs it. because we know it is said that it, like, whoever wields it has the power to unite all of Mandalore.
This episode answered a big question that has been troubling people for a long time.
Including me, because I think I talked about it.
Including you.
Previously.
Yeah. I just kind of like headcanoned it out of existence for myself. Because I was tired of thinking about it. But it answers, why do some Mandalorians not take off their helmets? And why?
Yes, I want a piece.
We're working on the puzzle now, too. Yeah, so like, as I kind of like headcanoned myself, like, he is part of like a fanatical wing of Mandalorians. Who...
I think you did actually, like, kind of explain that to me once before, that that was your theory.
That was my theory. So, like, he is part of a radical wing of Mandalorians who follow, if not the old... they said they tried to bring back the old ways. So, like, they don't believe in things like taking off their helmets. They are fanatics.
She called them a religious cult.
Yes.
Zealots.
I like that explanation.
It's a great explanation. I also liked in... that it was something that was clearly, like, they were well familiar with. So yes. You know it's been around for a while. They were well familiar with this because, like, both of their, like, the reaction when they realized.
The guy's just like, he's one of them.
It's like, clearly, you can tell he's like, great. Hella annoyed. Not looking forward to it. And honestly, I would like to say I did really respect the way that Bo-Katan handled it. Like, she explained when she could see that he was upset about it. She never forced it again, really.
Right.
In the sense, she kind of was like, okay, well then, if that's how it is, we're going to do it your way. Such as when she likes it, when she changes the plan and he's all pissed. And she just ends the conversation by saying, this is the way. And, like, grinning at him, like, you made the deal. This is the deal.
Yeah, really like that explanation. And I do, enjoy how she threw the whole this is the way thing back into his face. That whole action sequence with them.
My jaw, the first time I watched it, was just agape the entire time. It was so great. The music choice was excellent. The shots that they used were great. Just everything about it. And that, like, that first sequence when they breach and it's just Bo-Katan. And, like, when it stops, like, you can almost see it simultaneously in your head and animated. And it's, like, perfect.
Yes. And I think, like, I was texting you my reactions while I was watching this. And, like, I didn't even know what to say during that sequence.
It's just so good.
Yeah.
So good.
Like, it did not need my words at all. And, of course, like, the two moments when she referenced Ahsoka.
Oh, yes.
Always get me emotional.
Oh, yes.
I can't, like, hear an Ahsoka reference without wanting to cry. And I was curious, I didn't think that they were going to name drop her. Because, like, in the beginning, she's just like, I can take you to one of them. And, like, that was it. She dropped it. And I was like, okay, I guess they're not going to name her. But I'm pretty sure she's talking about Ahsoka. And then,
like, before they part ways, she was like,
yeah, find Ahsoka Tano, tell her I sent you. I was like, I was watching it with my wife, and, like, I squealed. Like, I was, like, jumped up out of my chair and was like, yes! And, like, my wife knows how much I love Ahsoka, so, like, that was not a surprise. Like, she was not surprised by my reaction. So, I don't think that that's going to happen next week, though. We were talking about that.
No.
I still think that next week's episode is going to be the return of Carl Weathers and some lady, and then the week after that is the Filoni episode, and I think that that is going to be
Ahsoka's coming into the live action. Of course it's gotta be a Filoni episode.
Yeah. So excited for it. So excited for it.
I just feel like it's... I hate it, but, like, I'm nervous.
You're... Okay, so, like, I'll say that you're not alone. You are not alone in being nervous. I'm assuming you're talking about being nervous about Ahsoka coming into live action.
Yes.
You're not alone. I don't...
And it's not, like, with Bo-Katan and Katie Sackhoff, where we're getting the, you know, the animated character literally just brought to life. Like,
yes.
Literally, like, we're getting Rosario Dawson.
Well,
is heavily rumored.
Yes.
And, I mean, we've seen enough, I think, leaks to kind of to say...
We certainly can't, like, question the leaks now. After
yeah.
the last several weeks of, after the last like 3 weeks of this show, like we'd be foolish to question these leaks now.
So I mean, it's going to be an entirely different voice than we're used to.
Yes.
And she's not human. So you have, and we've seen how they've done some, you know, Twi'leks. I'm never sure how to say it.
Well, she's not a Twi'lek. She's a...
I mean, sorry, yes. But we've seen,
yes.
like, other... She's a Kashyyyk, isn't she?
Not a Transdosian. I'll tell you in a second.
I'm terrible with these names. Terrible.
She is a Togruta, that's it.
Togruta. Okay, so like
Shakti, and that's
Shakti. I knew Shakti, but I couldn't remember what the
yeah.
hell. So she's not a human. She isn't just as simple as, you know, changing something slightly about her. She is a totally different
yes
race, species. Looks nothing like a human appearance wise. You have to do this in a way, because it's heavily rumored that then Ahsoka and Sabine is getting their spin-off show, like...
Which I didn't believe, but again, can't really deny
yeah.
the rumors now.
So, they have to figure out a way to do this and have it look good and believable without it being, like, offensive.
Yes.
That's huge. So, like, I mean, I think it can be done, especially, like, I doubt they'll go this, you know, because Favreau's, it seems to be content on doing as much, as little CGI, and I use little, like, loosely, because obviously they use it a lot.
Yeah.
But, like, he's not trying to do...
My whole thing with it is that I'm not worried about it because it's Filoni bringing her into live action, and she is Filoni's character. And
yeah.
And like, this is why I don't.
But that's also
this
why,
is why
I'm not super. Like I said, it's complicated.
Yeah.
Like, I'm nervous, but I'm so excited.
A lot of people are more, like, I've seen people, like, way more nervous than you. And I don't get it, because all the reasons that you love Ahsoka, like, Dave Filoni's, like, directing her. Like, it's not like Disney just handed her off to, like, fucking Benioff and Weiss or something. You know?
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's like the guy who
do
made...
not speak of even what that could mean. Uh-huh.
Like the guy who made you fall in love with Ahsoka is handling her in live action. So like, that's why I'm not really that worried. I get what you're saying about the looks, like, because that's a completely different thing, because that has
yeah.
nothing to do with like the characterization of her.
100%.
Like,
I've seen Rosario Dawson act, and I very much enjoy her as an actress. Her complicated personal off-camera issues aside, I think she's a very competent actress from
yes.
what I've seen of her. So, like, I feel like
she was excellent in the Marvel
yes.
Netflix stuff.
I feel like it is 100%. I think she could do a great job pulling off, like, Ahsoka's attitude and mannerisms.
Yes.
The question then for me falls to, can I get over the voice thing? I think I will be able to.
She can probably, I mean, I'm assuming that she can probably manipulate her voice enough to sound like
Ashley Eckstein. Or to get it at least close to Ashley Eckstein.
Yeah. I'm just a little disappointed because I thought Ashley Eckstein could still, I thought she could have acted as Ahsoka, but whatever.
She might not have had any interest.
She may not have. Yeah, you're right.
We don't know, so who's to say?
Because being a voice actor and being a live action actor are not
something totally different.
Yes.
And work your entire life would change doing that.
And so it's not like if it was like anyone else, if it was someone else, I would think like maybe they would use her voice the way Sam Witwer did in Solo, and the way someone else did in The Phantom Menace. I don't remember who the voice of Maul was in The Phantom Menace, but like Rosario Dawson is too big of an actor for that to happen to her.
Oh, for sure. So, I mean, I'm confident. I feel like Dave Filoni would pick someone who he felt genuinely
and captures.
Yes.
Embodies Ahsoka.
Yes. So, I'm confident, but like I said, the whole appearance thing to me is the real big question mark that I have.
Yeah.
But I'm so excited otherwise.
Me too.
I'm also excited for Sabine, if we get her in The Mandalorian or not.
I would not be shocked if Sabine was with her. I would not be shocked. I would really not be shocked at all if Rex was with her. Especially,
likewise on both counts.
Especially since, like, we already got that Boba Fett, Temuera Morrison cameo. Like,
briefly.
It's confirmed that Temuera Morrison has been around set because he was on film. That wouldn't shock me. It would not.
So how old would Rex be? Okay, so some terrible timelines in math.
This is 5 years after the Return of the Jedi, which would make him...
So where are we from the end of Rebels? From the epilogue of Rebels?
If Rebels ended like a year before A New Hope, then we are like...
So the shot of... So when Sabine's talking, it was a year before the end of...
When Sabine was talking, Sabine was talking at the end of, like, the Civil War. So she's talking at the end of Return of the Jedi.
Yes, when her and Ahsoka are teaming up. That is what I'm talking about. From that point, where, how long...
Assuming that was, like, right at the end of the war, which I think it was, we're, like, 5.5 to 6 years away from that point.
Okay. Okay.
So, Rex could still be alive. Like, I know clones age more rapidly, but I think Rex could still be alive at this point. Would not shock me if Ezra was there, also.
I don't know about that one.
I am still not convinced that Rahul Cooley is not playing him.
I 100% agree with that. I don't know if I believe that Ezra is in The Mandalorian.
We'll find out. It's just... It's funny because, like, people are just, like, constantly asking him about it. And I'm guilty of that because I did that yesterday, too. Like, he was, like... He tweeted, he was, like, my sister and my brother-in-law, not Star Wars fans... sat down last night and binged The Mandalorian as a way of celebrating my birthday like I'm home in London. Honestly, it was the sweetest gesture. And I was like, oh yeah? I was like, what? Why'd they do that? Are they trying to catch up for something? Is there a certain character being played by a certain actor? Just curious. Like, so like, I don't know. I'm just not convinced that he's not playing Ezra. And I'll die if he's in the...
He's perfect for the role. Like, he is. Down is perfect for the role of Ezra.
You'll never watch it, but he was so amazing in The Haunting of Bly Manor.
I'm sure he was. I just, nope. No, thank you.
I would not recommend you watching that at all. Like, it's legit terrifying. But yeah, no, he's such an amazing... He makes me want to watch iZombie. Is that the one he was in?
Yes.
Yeah.
My friend Carrie just watched that. She said it was very good, so eventually I plan on getting around to watch it.
Okay.
When that is, I don't know, but at some point I will.
Yeah. Let's talk about, so the Imperial captain on the freighter, when he electrocuted himself, with like, because you, with like,
that's a Nazi.
Yeah.
Cyanide capsule.
The Star Wars equivalent of the cyanide capsule, because he like zapped himself, like that was kind of.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, but that was like, that was definitely like a Nazi move. Right there.
Long live the Empire.
What she's referencing is while we were watching the episode, we were having a discussion about how some people refuse to accept the Nazi imagery of the Empire and the First Order. Because look at that speech that Hux gave in The Force Awakens
before
they blew up the Hosnian system.
Yeah, so they're basically the Nazis that ran off to South America.
Yes.
And, you know, we're seeing that in The Mandalorian. It's the same concept as the Nazis that ran off to South America. And we're still trying, like, in the process of being like, how can we rebuild?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think people who try to ignore it or are, who's claim that they don't see any similarities between the Nazis and, you know, fascism to the Empire and the Force Order, you're just at this point being obtuse. You're knowingly and willingly just ignoring it.
And people do that.
Yes,
because, like,
100%.
The Venn diagram of people who don't see the Nazi imagery and the people who think that,
support
like, the Empire... I was going to say the people who think that the Empire are the good guys is a circle. And then also the people who support Trump is also part of that circle. But, like, well, seriously, because it's all...
That's also part of that circle.
Because I think it's funny how, like, three times during this election cycle, like, a Trump person tweeted a picture or, like, made a reference to, like, how, like, the Death Star by saying, like, the Trump campaign is, like, fully up and operational.
Somebody on the campaign... And I retweeted it after he lost the election. It was the Death Star blowing up. It was a quote tweet of it with just the Death Star blowing up.
And which is why a lot of people tweeted that. I chose to go with Vader throwing the Emperor down the reactor shaft because by the time I did that, everyone else had the idea for the Death Star blowing up. But yeah, like, people don't see that, like, those are the bad guys.
It's just like, I don't know. And, like, I think there was, like, something else that, like, George Lucas recently... Some quotes from George Lucas recently came out about, like, what his original plan for the sequel trilogy was. And he, like, blatantly said that the sequel trilogy would have been about the grandchildren. Which, I mean, it was. And it would be about, well, I believe it was, like, ISIS. Like, he would have based it on, like... Like, if the prequel trilogy was the Iraq War, the sequel trilogy was going to be, like, the current aftermath of, like, okay, now what?
I have the quote.
You have the quote.
I had planned for the first trilogy to be about the father, the second trilogy to be about the son, and the third trilogy to be about the daughter and the grandchildren. Episodes 7, 8, and 9 would take ideas from what happened after the Iraq War, Lucas says in Star Wars Archive. Okay, you fought the war, you killed everyone, now what are you going to do? Rebuilding afterwards is harder than starting a rebellion or fighting the war. When you win the war and you disband the opposing army, what do they do? The stormtroopers would be like Saddam Hussein's Ba'athist fighters that joined ISIS and kept on fighting. The stormtroopers refuse to give up when the Republic win. And I will tell you, as someone who fought in Iraq, that is... a spot on observation by him, because, like, because you topple a government doesn't mean that, like, the bad forces of that government
just disappear.
And people talk about, like, Al-Qaeda in Iraq, and, like, they were bad, but, like, the bigger, like, threat, like, at least when I was there, was, like, the Fedayeen, which was made up of Saddam's, like, former, like, loyalists. Like, that, like, it wasn't Al-Qaeda. It was, like, the remnants of, like, Saddam and his Ba'ath party. So, like, that's a spot-on observation by him. So, like, it's totally believable that, like, the Empire can come back as the First Order.
Oh, 100%. And so, like, Star Wars has always been political. So, like, all of the people that complain, like, oh,
Did I take us off topic with that?
No, you didn't.
Okay.
It was an excellent tie-in. But the notion that, like, has cropped up since Disney has taken over Star Wars is that they're, you know, pandering to diversity, you know, they're social justice warriors, blah, 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 blah. All of this stuff because, you know, they're being against fascism, including black and other people of color in major roles, including women in major roles. It's like, okay, well, all of these things that you're complaining against is ultimately things that are, like, sexist and nationalist and racist and fascist and all of these things. So you're failing to realize that, to a degree, all of that stuff has been in Star Wars. I mean, Star Wars, yes, we debate, you know, how George Lucas is terrible sometimes with how he treats women, talking about Leia in the slave costume, etc., etc. But regardless, he gave us an early female with badass power and authority. Like, right.
At a time when people weren't doing that.
Yes. So, like, yeah, she's not, you know, a Jedi, and, you know, we didn't have her in a role such as, like, that we had Rey. But we had something. And, you know, he was very open and obvious that, you know, like, the prequel was about the Iraq War. He used that kind of, like, as a inspiration.
He directly quoted George Bush by having Anakin say, "If you're not with me, you're my enemy."
Yes.
That's a direct George Bush
quote. So, like, and he said what, I believe the original trilogy, in part, was the Vietnam War?
Yeah, because, like, if you go back to interviews with him before, like, closer, like, to the time of the original trilogy, like, he will tell you that, like, his original conception for the Emperor was, like, Nixon, not Hitler.
Yeah.
So, like,
but which is, I think you can base it off of Nixon and still end up using some imagery from the Nazis, because iconically bad.
Which I love that, because, like, there will be people who will, like, argue up and down that, like, the Emperor is, like, Hitler. And it's impossible. You can't. Yeah, in a lot of ways, like, the Emperor is Hitler. I don't think
there's a lot of similarities, yeah, because both are evil.
Lucas, like, wasn't oblivious to, like, what he was making, how he was, like, characterizing the Emperor. But, like, that is also, like, a swipe at, like, American imperialism. Like, don't erase, like, what we do to the world. Like, don't just try to be like, oh, it's the Nazis, like, we're perfect. Like, no, hold up the mirror. Like, George Lucas is making a statement about, like, American imperialism and, like, what he thinks of, like, where he thinks of, like, our place in the world is. And I loved it. Like, I thought it was a really good message.
For sure. And, I mean, like, one of the things about it, like, also is the fact that, so, like, the people who claim that it's something new that's only been occurring since Disney took over, again, you're being obtuse.
Yes.
You're willfully ignoring everything about Star Wars predating when Disney took it over. So it's just it's a dumb argument.
I don't know how people can make the argument with a straight face. All right, so, you got anything else for this episode?
Just that I endorse Bryce Dallas Howard getting to be the showrunner / director of the rumored Sabine Ahsoka spinoff show.
I endorse the fan desire for her to direct a Solo sequel.
Yes, that too. Let Bryce Dallas Howard direct more things and all of the things, please.
I can't get over how new of a director she is. Like, she knocked it out of the park on, like...
I'm pretty sure she did a Black Mirror episode, and I forget which one it was.
I didn't see that when I was looking through her filmography.
I know she acted in
one. I've never watched Black Mirror before. What was that sound for?
It's a good.
She did not do an episode of Black Mirror.
She was in it.
Okay. So basically I tried watching the first episode of Black Mirror, Dude Fuck the Pig.
Yes.
And then I just didn't think the show was for me. So
all of the episodes are different.
Okay.
It's never the same. And I think the show has leaned, it kind of has more, now has an overlapping arc. But regardless, it's the people's relationship with, like, technology.
Okay.
And, like, stuff like that, and, like, taking it to the extremes. Like, the episode that Bryce Dallas Howard was actually in is she was, basically living in a world where currency and status was determined by your social, social networking, like Facebook, Instagram, your popularity on those and how many likes and followers you got basically determined, you know, what kind of job you got, what kind of house you lived in, what kind of car you could get and everything. And it was just really fascinating because in this world, it's totally normal and everything. And, you know, Bryce Dallas Howard's character goes through this entire, you know, she's trying to get to this wedding and, you know, everything that can go wrong is going wrong for her. And because everything is going that's going wrong for her, her value on, you know, social media is dropping.
Right.
Which means she goes to rent a vehicle and they look up her social media ranking and they're like, you only have 200 likes. You have to have 400. Sorry, we can't rent a car to you. And they turn her away. And stuff like that, and to the point where it's like she's just completely and utterly destroyed by the end of the episode because it's so low and she snaps.
I would be interested in watching that.
There's a whole bunch of different episodes of Black Mirror. They're very bizarre, but they're entertaining. Some of them are way better than others, but...
Okay.
It's definitely
an interesting show. I want to watch that episode specifically.
I forget which season it's at. It was a good episode. It's not one of my favorite episodes.
Yeah.
But it's a good episode, and, like, the message that it's sending is very poignant. She's very good in that, because it's just, like, the spectrum of personality and, like, the range she has to have for that role was impressive.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else?
Nope.
All right. Then thank you, everyone, for listening. You can follow me on Twitter at Darth Hockey. You can follow Krista at Criddle, KRI3TZ3Rs.
Yeah, you're right. Thank you. He caught me mid-yawn.
Yeah, covered you while you were yawning. Follow the podcast at Sits Giggles Pod. Check us out on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and iHeartRadio. Thanks for listening. Bye.